So what I'd like you to notice is that in the seventh week of development here, we can now no longer see the pharyngeal arches. What we can see is where the external ear wall forms. So this is the external ear forming in this region here. Notice its position relative to the rest of the face, down where the lower jaw is. We can identify the eye and the upper and lower eyelids surrounding it and the nose. So we've developed the face by the seventh week. Notice as well that we can no longer see somites or internal body structures. By this stage in development, the rest of the gastrointestinal tract has begun to proliferate and fill the abdominal cavity. And in addition, the dermis, remember from the dermatome, has spread out underneath the epithelium, forming a thickened skin now. So we've not got a thin ectodermal layer, we've got a thick skin-like layer. The limbs, we can now see, are just beginning to separate in the upper limb into individual digits. It still doesn't have all of the structures of an entire limb, it's still just a stumpy little thing off the side here, so we've still got to grow the limb and establish digits as well. So this brings us to the eighth week in development. Now obviously there's a lot going on, and I'm simplifying it a great deal. It covers the period from stage 20 to stage 23 in the historic classification system of development. By the time we get to 23, we can see all of the features of the upper and lower limb and all of the facial features we'd expect to see on an infant. I'm going to talk a little bit about limb development now, because we finally get to the point where the limb looks like a limb. So during the eighth week, we go from those early features in stage 20 to something which has a shoulder, an elbow, and a wrist region, and separate digits by the end of embryonic development. Remember that if we look inside the limb at this point, there'd be very few bones completely formed there. The wrist would be virtually just all cartilaginous tissues at this stage in development. Very little ossification occurring here, or mainly occurring in fetal period. Even postnatally, if you x-ray the wrist, you'll see a lot of it still cartilage. This limb, as it grows in length, is patterned. There are similar patterning processes for both the upper and the lower limb. But importantly, the upper and lower limbs undergo a rotation in different directions. So in the seventh week, we can see this embryo here in the seventh week. The upper limb bud, as it's growing, rotates dorsally. In comparison, the lower limb bud rotates ventrally. And this is because originally there were little stubs around the side of the embryo here on the lateral surfaces. And the upper portion here is going to be the flexor compartment, and the caudal compartment here is going to be the extensor compartment. When I rotate this around in this direction, I bring the flexors to the superior surface of the upper limbs. So I can flex in this direction. If I did the same rotation for the lower limbs, my knees would bend forward and not back. And so in order to get the flexor compartment on the dorsal side, I rotate the limbs in the opposite direction, and I end up with the flexors on the back of my limbs, on the lower limbs, and the extensors on the front, if you think of the two compartments. So not only does this separate limb rotation change the orientation of the flexors and extensors, it also has an important role in your use clinically, because in the anatomy you would have already had spelled out to you another description for dermatome, which is what? What's a dermatome in adult anatomy? Nobody? Is anyone here doing medicine? Let me help you out with the definition then. A dermatome refers to the segment of skin that's innervated by a specific segmental nerve. You'll use it clinically to check an intact nerve function. And this pattern on the surface are the dermatomes, the segmental innervation of spinal nerves to different regions of the body. They'll tell you where there's been damage to the spinal cord or damage to a nerve by the lack of sensitivity in that region clinically. Now, the relevance here is that the pattern, when you look at all of the maps in all of your textbooks, anywhere you find them, the pattern of this innervation is laid down before the limbs rotate. And so the innervation of these limbs for sensory systems is laid down, and then the limbs rotate, and this rotates the pattern on the surface of the body as well. And this is the reason why the segmental innervation pattern for dermatomes has the specific distribution on the limbs that's not directly comparable to the trunk because of that limb rotation. So we see limb rotation and development of the limbs. The gastrointestinal tract, and remember we'll cover this next year, we can now see the lungs that are formed, so we get significant branching. Remember, they're still immature at this stage. They're not fully functional yet. They're still branching to form the respiratory tree. We can see by stage 22 the stomach, and the stomach's in its correct anatomical location, so it's also undergone a rotation. We can see the midgut, and the midgut is not in its correct anatomical location. It's a little knapsack out the front of the embryo here. So this is the herniation of the midgut. The vast majority of the midgut lies outside of the body wall and is elongating in a space outside there, growing in length. And it's only during the early fetal period that the fetus grows significantly in its body wall size that it reincorporates that herniation. So the herniated midgut gets taken back up into the body as the body grows around it. So at the end of embryonic development, the midgut is still herniated outside of the ventral body wall. And the last thing I'd like to mention for week 8 is the nervous system. So we've had a very simple neural tube that we've established. We've fragmented it into primary and secondary vesicles and folded it up a little bit. If we take a section through that embryo's head, stage 22, have a look at it, I hope. It looks like this. This is the anterior surface of the head. This is the posterior, and this would be going down to the spinal cord here. So the brain has been folded around and descending down to the spinal cord through here. If we cut through the head, this is the left and the right side, these are the cortical regions that are forming, the hemispheres of the brain. But a lot of this isn't the brain yet. So this is the telencephalon. Remember, the forebrain divides into telencephalon and diencephalon. The telencephalon forms the cortex. This large space within here are the ventricles. And these folded structures inside there is the modified vascular system, which makes CSF, the choroid plexus. What I want you to notice is that the neural tube is still relatively thin-walled. And if we look just in this small blue boxed region here, labelled A2, so we're going to blow up that region and have a look in detail in that small boxed region, this is what we see. This is the ventricular cavity on the left, and this is the connective tissue and structures outside of the nervous system out here. Now, this thick layer here, adjacent to the ventricular cavity, is known as the ventricular layer. It's what our primitive neural tube formed. The stem cells are dividing, and as they divide and differentiate into neurons, they leave this layer and migrate out through these other layers and are deposited out here. This thin band of cells, maybe 5 to 10 cells thick, is the developing cortex. That's the whole cortex at this stage. And over time, through the fetal period, cells will continue to migrate out to form the layers of the cortex. But at this stage, all we've got is this very primitive structure here. All of these layers are developmental layers which will be lost when the brain's fully developed, and the ventricular layer will lie adjacent to the cortex itself. The reason for spending a bit of time on this is to point out to you that even at the end of the embryonic period, we've only just begun to form the brain. It's very primitive structure, and all of its development occurs after this period. We're only forming just the primordial layers just here. And this will go on through fetal development. After the neurons are developed to form the cortex, from the same stem cell population will be formed the second major population of cells of the brain, which is what? Second major population of cells of the brain. Sorry, no, it's not that. Second major population of cells of the brain. Do we have any takers? Do we have anyone? Out of this stem cell population come the neurons. What is the other major population of the brain? The grey matter, the white matter. What's the white matter made out of? Dear me. That's all I want. I'm talking about glial cells. All of the glial cells of the brain come out of the same stem cell population. They're formed later than the neurons, and the process of gliogenesis occurs later in development than the neurons and continues postnatally as well. I remind you that up to half of the neurons that are formed during development are lost as part of brain development. And we only end up with a small fraction, some of us smaller than others, of those that we had when we were embryos. That's the content I wanted to get through today. I've got 5 minutes left for you to ask any last questions of the tutors about embryonic development. Thank you very much for your attention today.